I think passion for sure, passion and interest in it and determination is definitely the biggest factors.
Hello and welcome to the Skybound RC podcast. I'm your host, Juan Sanchez, and today we have an amazing guest for you. We have Jace Ducia in the house. If you don't know who Jace is, he is one of the top freestyle pilots in the world. He has won pretty much everything. He's won the Tucson Aerobatic Shootout in freestyle. He's won the Extreme Flight Championships, both in the US and in France. He's won the Clovercreek Invitational, and he is one of the most sought after demo pilots in events in the US and internationally. This was a great conversation. We actually ran pretty long, so we're splitting it into two separate episodes. In this first episode, Jace tells us how things are going after his move from Extreme Flight to Flex Innovations, and he tells us how he's liking the new planes, how they compare to the old planes that he was flying in Extreme Flight. We also chat about how things are going with JTA Innovations. That's Jace's personal company that develops and sells foamy freestyle planes. Jace also talks about how he approaches his flight training, how he has improved over the years without burning out. I think there's a lot of really good information, both for beginner pilots to experienced pilots, especially if you're interested in aerobatics. But I think a lot of advice applies to anybody looking to further their skills. Next week, in the next episode, Jace will dive a bit deeper into some technical details and flight skills. He will tell us how he uses the simulator to stay on top of his game, even when he's not able to fly a real plane for a while. And he will dive pretty deep into how he dials in a new plane. He will talk us about his expo settings, his rates, what mixes he uses, how he approaches center of gravity adjustment, all that important stuff when you're setting up a new plane. I had a great time talking to Jace. I probably could have talked to him for another hour or two. I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and make sure to subscribe to ensure you don't miss the part two of this conversation with Jace Ducia. Hey, Jace. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. How's life in Louisiana these days?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's really good right now because the weather's been pretty much perfect every day this week, middle of June, and it's summertime down here, and I'm a fan of the warmer weather, so it makes for some good flying, so I'm enjoying it for sure. A lot of sunshine.
And I said you are set up in the new shop?
Yep, we got the new shop set up last year. Actually had it built last year during Joan All, so we've had this shop for a little over a year now, and it's still not perfect, still not 100% the way we want it all set up, but it's really functional, and we're really thankful for it.
Awesome. I saw some really cool pictures of you flying a few days ago in, I think it's called Rocking the Runway. Can you tell us a bit about that event and how that went?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a local air show, really just pretty much in the backyard. I mean, we're talking a half a mile from our house, so it was really close. A friend of ours puts it on. He owns the property. Some full-scale airplanes, some pretty big names like Matt Youngkin and Kevin Coleman were flying there, and I got to do an RC demo, one at daytime and then one at nighttime, and it was really cool. They had a great turnout. It's for a good cause. Hopefully next year we get invited back.
How do you like flying on those type of air shows that there's like a hybrid of full scale and RC?
Yeah, it's different for sure. The full scale air shows, most people don't really know what to expect with RC, even if they've seen a little bit of it. They're pretty surprised with the capabilities of the airplanes and the maneuvers that they're able to do. And I think it's a great opportunity for the RC industry and being able to promote it in general. And it's really cool, some of the connections that you make too. You get to meet people and pilots in the full scale world. And I think even some of the full scale aerobatic pilots can pick up some of the RC tricks a little bit.
I'm pretty sure that some aerobatic pilots full scale have picked up some maneuvers from RC in the past like 10 years or so. Those Harrier and Rolling Harriers.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how that's come along. It's really impressive.
Were you flying your like 120cc planes, I'm guessing?
Yep. I flew two 120cc airplanes. I flew the Mamba 120 for the daytime show. There were a couple full-scale biplanes there, so I figured it'd be cool to fly a biplane. And then I flew the Edge 540 for the night show with the lights on it and smoke. So pretty good variety.
Nice. Yeah, so speaking of those planes, kind of a big thing, I think, in your RC life has been this year, the move from Extreme Flight to Flex Innovations, right? I think you were in the Extreme team for a good number of years, right? And now you've switched to Flex Innovations with Kike Somenzini. Can you tell us about that? How is the switch going? How is working with somebody like Kike?
Yeah, it's going really well. Having a lot of fun, really enjoying it. I joined the Flex team back late January, early February. And, you know, it's been really cool. Great group of people. You know, first off with Kike, awesome guy to work with. You know, a lot of experience. You know, you can talk the same lingo with him, so to speak. And he understands everything. You know, a lot of passion for the hobby. You know, even with the amount of years he's been doing it and all of his experiences, his passion for it is right up there with mine and anyone else I've met. So that's pretty cool. And you know, everyone else within the team, you know, Josh is a great guy to work with on a daily basis, great communicator, and you know, just a great group of people to be surrounded by. And quite honestly, that's the main reason why I joined Flex is because of the people behind it and the passion for it, for sure.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was getting started with aerobatics and Yale-scale planes, Kike Somenzini was definitely one of the guys you are always watching, right? Like I remember of his freestyle flights. I believe it was in Clover Creek. The precision of his flights, the way he would fly the airplane with the music was like pretty special. I know that these days those flights are much more basic in terms of the complexity of the maneuvers and the level of aggression, but that was like really special to see back then.
Oh yeah, it's really impressive, you know, especially with the evolution of technology and everything. You know, when he started, you know, when Kike started flying competitive aerobatics, from the point to when he started, you know, to the point to where he kind of stopped competing, the evolution of technology, you know, was crazy within that time span, and the way that he was able to adapt the flying and still be innovative, you know, throughout his competition career, and you know, with you know, like you mentioned, the freestyle maneuvers and you know, his IMAC and F3A and everything. It's really impressive. So you know, today, you know, we've got some amazing technology and like you said, you know, some of those maneuvers are a lot more easier, but even with the technology now, if it wasn't for people like him, we wouldn't know what to do. So it's really impressive for sure.
Yep, I agree. When you were flying with Extreme Flight, I think you were flying obviously all the different planes they have, from the little ones to the Boostmaster to the freestyle competition ones. But I think you probably spend most of your time flying the three kind of 120cc versions of the Laser, the Sleek, and the Extra NG. I'm kind of curious how different those planes feel to you now in comparison to the Flex ones. I guess the Edge probably is the closest, right? Like a monoplane.
Yeah, the Edge is probably, you know, for my flying style, closest to what I'm, you know, previously used to, and definitely falls into the range of a, you know, freestyle aerobatic airplane. So, I mean, compared to, you know, other airframes on the market, you know, it definitely is right up there, you know, from my honest experience, is definitely right up there, you know, with a unique feel to anything else I've flown. You know, the design of it's really unique. So it has some characteristics that kind of set itself apart from some other ones. And I think it's really cool how it, you know, personally, it, you know, looks a lot like a full scale Edge. So, I think it, you know, grabs a good visual appeal. And the color schemes are really popular too. So, you know, I think from a flying characteristic standpoint, it's definitely, you know, I don't think there's anything that is, you know, kind of holds it back in comparison. I think it's, you know, it can be competitive with anything else out there, especially with what I've flown. You know, another important factor is that it holds up well too. We've been able to do a lot of strong flight testing and really happy with the progress on that. You know, even got to keep in mind this airplane, you know, was in full development and production, you know, before I joined Flex. And, you know, even after I joined and started flying it, I haven't really had to make changes to the construction side of things. You know, the wing design's nice and strong. It can hold up to the modern day flying. So really happy with it. I think it's a really good option for people that are interested in Edges in general, 120cc planes in general, or anyone that likes the colors. So it's a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I saw some of your videos in Yonel recently, and the first of all, the color schemes are awesome. I think they're like pretty unique, and they look really good. They really stand out. And yeah, the plane looks also really aggressive. I think I'm used to thinking of Edges as good planes for the low and slow Type 3D flying, right? For like sure. Pretty stable Harriers. Yeah. It does look like has a lot of tail authority. It looks like a pretty fun plane, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, like you said, you know, traditionally, you know, the natural feel of an Edge is really stable, low and slow, you know, limited wing rock, and slow flying is just always locked in. And this Edge definitely shares that for sure. It's super stable. You know, rolling Harriers, upright inverted Harriers, you know, falling elevators are pretty solid. But like you said, it's got some really aggressive tendencies to it. The roll rate on it is really axial and fast. So for all the fast rolling maneuvers, it's you know, not a lot of correcting needed when you have an airplane that's, you know, rolling really axial. And in my honest opinion, one of the more prominent highlights of the Edge is the tumbling characteristics, knife edge spins, crankshafts, and even tighter waterfalls at a slower speed. The tail authority is pretty crazy for sure.
Yep. How are you liking, I guess the other two big planes from Flex are the Ultimate and the Mamba, right? How are you liking those?
Yep. Yeah, you know, that's something a little bit different, you know, than what I've flown in the past. So it's a more of a unique taste on it. But I mean, honestly, it's pretty cool to have biplanes that have all the positive characteristics of a biplane that you get without the weird kind of quirks that biplanes might be known for in the past. And I think there's a lot of things that are able to make that possible. You know, first off, the construction and technology nowadays of how light we're able to get the airplanes. You know, a heavy biplane, you know, never really is a good recipe. So having these biplanes that are nice and light help take some of the bad quirks out of it a little bit. And then also, you know, from the aerodynamic design is probably the biggest part. You know, Kike has a lot of experience throughout the years with biplane designs and evolution of different bike designs, and the Mamba 120 and Ultimate are just a product of that at this point. So it's really cool, you know, getting into some more specifics of bikes. You know, in my opinion, they're really nice for precision, track really nice. Point rolls are really clean. Rolls are axial too. You know, not just in a rifle roll, but you know, precision rolls at a slower roll rate are really axial. Stops are clean. And then from a 3D point of view, you know, the Mamba 120 and Ultimate, they both settle in really nice, really stable. The Ultimate's really fun. I feel like it's really aggressive on the tail. Elevator authority is pretty immense on the Ultimate, and the Mamba rolling is super axial. Precision is clean, like I said, and the Mamba locks in both upright and inverted at slow speed. So, you know, the bikes, you know, from fast agility to rapid transitions, you know, it's hard to beat a monoplane there. You know, I don't know if a biplane will ever quite get to that point in a giant scale size, but, you know, as far as precision goes, and stability, some of the tail authority throughout rolling maneuvers and yaw authority of a biplane is pretty impressive. So overall, I feel like, you know, as a pilot, I've kind of grown a little bit, you know, learning these different tendencies of different airplanes and not just sticking to one type of airplane, you know, throughout, you know, all my flights. So I definitely feel like I've got a little more diversity for sure.
Yeah, it makes things a bit more fun too, especially if you're not thinking about competing. Hey, tomorrow I have to go to the Tucson Shroud. Right. If you are just having fun, I think it's also nice to have a bit of variety. Just a few days ago, I got to try somebody's Mamba 70. That was mm-hmm. pretty interesting. Like it had been a long time since I flew any kind of biplane. Definitely, this is the best one I've flown so far. Yeah. As you said, like the way it rolls, both rifle rolls or just low rolls, point rolls, it's really nice. I generally really like how airplanes with a round fuselage, whether it's a Jack or in this case like the Mamba, anything that's like rolling, it makes the airplane feel locked in because you don't have this like the shape of the exactly. fuselage kind of helps the visual look of those rolling yeah. maneuvers. The other thing that stood out to me were rolling Harriers or anything like rolling, like the rolling authority was really, really good too. Like the speed at which the airplane would roll at fast and at slow speed is pretty high. And flat spins were also particularly nice. Like I think flat spins might be better in that plane than in most other monoplanes from my experience.
I agree. Yeah, the flat spins, you know, inverted's locked in, and especially upright flat spins. It's crazy how, you know, quick the rotation is, but how flat you can get it. The Ultimate in particular, you can get it into an upright flat spin and just about come out of it, you know, going back up vertically, keeping it flat. So it's pretty impressive. And like you said, the bipes are really nice for slow rolling Harriers. The roll rate at a slow speed is pretty impressive as well.
Yep. On the other side of the spectrum with Flex, there are these small foam-based planes. I actually have the Jack 50, the Jack 55, the 10E, the little one, and the Cap, the new version, the second generation, and they're pretty fun. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on those, and especially I'm kind of curious about your thoughts regarding gyros. I'm assuming that you haven't had a lot of experience with gyros in the past, and I think now that you're in Flex and you get to fly and demo these planes, at least in the small ones, you probably have been able to play with gyros, right?
For sure, yeah. With the Aura setups, the Super PNP line from Flex, they all come with the Aura, and the Aura is basically it's a flight controller system with a built-in gyro. And when you get a PNP model from Flex, you have different pre-programmed settings, and the airplane will fly really well with those settings. But if you want to get the most customized feel out of the airplane, you'll want to work through the config tool. And that's what I've done for all the PNP models. So I've got a little bit of experience with the Aura setup on those. I've got the Yak, just like you, and the Cap and a few others. And, you know, with the gyros on the smaller airplanes, mostly what I'll do is I'll adjust the stick priority, it's called, and the gain, of course. My personal preference, I like to fly, you know, with one rate. So I have one setting on those airplanes, and those are the two things that I adjust the most. And, you know, for me overall with the Aura setups, of course I'll use them on all the PNP models, the Balsa airplanes, the giant scale stuff. I don't have the Aura installed in it. I'm running the standard Spectrum PowerSafe setup. So, you know, that includes planes like the Ultimate, Mamba 120, the Edge, all that stuff is Spectrum PowerSafe. And yeah, I mean, overall, the PNP models, it's really impressive for the price, first of all, and then the performance that you get out of the airplane. You know, the little Yak can be really aggressive, rolls really fast, and the cap is really stable, a great 3D airplane, especially for people that want to practice 3D maneuvers, and it can also be really fast, aggressive, and precise as well, and the price is really great on them. You know, the cap, the PNP on that, I think is around between $530 and $560, depending on the day or night version. And then at that point, all you need is your receiver setup and battery, and you're good to go. So it's pretty impressive. It's been a lot of fun. You know, being PNP, they don't take very long. I think, you know, an hour or less, and you can get most of them in the air. I think it's a really good class to keep people of all skill spectrums and experience spectrums interested in the hobby. It's great for the Flex brand as well. It's great for promotion for sure.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with the, especially with the Yak. The cap is relatively new, so I have only like 3 or 4 flights in it. The Yak, taking into account how small and affordable it is, I think it's like a $300, $350 plane, flies surprisingly well. It's really aggressive, but still pretty precise when you're doing maneuvers, like pattern-style maneuvers. So that's been a really fun airplane. And yeah, I think in my case, I've done something similar to you with the JAR. I think the presets that come with the Aura make a lot of sense for a lot of people. I think for me, flying with single rate for everything, none of the mods quite match, because we have like the fast speed or the slow 3D, but you don't have something that kind of handles both at the same time. So with a little bit of tweaking, you can get something pretty good there.
The settings out of the box, they're basically set up to where, you know, all skill levels can fly the airplane. So the airplanes come out of the box, and typically they're really, you know, 3D capable, and there's usually a high rate setting, but the gain and stick priority of that high rate setting is usually pretty high. So someone that's used to 3D flying or really, you know, experienced aggressive pilot on that high rate will want to turn that down a little bit. So it's basically out of the box. It's set up, you know, to where you don't get someone who's trying to learn or a beginner and they take off and it's too much for them to handle. So like you said, I think we kind of have the same style as far as that goes for sure.
Have you gotten a chance to try a Jaro on a big plane?
I have. I don't think I've ran the Aura in any giant scale airplanes yet on mine. I think I've flown a couple airplanes giant scale with the Aura in it. I think it, you know, goes along the same lines with the PNP stuff. I think my settings for that would probably be, you know, fairly similar. You know, even with the bigger planes, I fly one rate. I don't have a lot of experience with setup on the giant scale airplanes with gyros in them. But I mean, I think that's all personal preference. You know, a lot of guys, you know, love the feel of it and love the adjustability. And another perk too, you know, when you run the Aura system, you're not just getting the gyro, you're getting all the other setup functions. So if someone's used to that setup or prefers that type of setup function, then that'll be the way to go, even if, you know, they have the gyro, you know, really low or even turned off. So, you know, there's so many different options out there, and It all comes down to personal preference. I think one of the more common misconceptions is how a gyro will, totally change the characteristics of the airplane and everything like that. And I think, unfortunately for as well as some of the previous flex airplanes fly, such as the Mamba 120 and Ultimate, for example, that I've been flying, there's been a misconception that it's been aided, just with a gyro in the past. But, it turns out that they're really great natural flying airplanes that don't require it, but are a good match with it, too. So I think it all boils down to personal preference, and there's not a right or wrong way, unless you're in competition, you got to follow by the rules, of course. But when you're out flying and having fun, there's not a right or wrong way for sure.
Yep, totally agree. I think sometimes people get way caught up on this type of things when we're basically just flying little airplanes for fun. Exactly. I got the chance to try this Mamba 70 the other day. They had an Aura installed in it, and I was able to try it with both the gyro on and off. And I personally prefer it without the gyro. I think a big part of it is probably also, one, not being used to it, two, not having it set up to my liking. Right. But it was a very interesting experience regardless. When the gyro was on, maneuvers, especially like pattern style maneuvers, precision maneuvers, like slow rolls, point rolls, snap rolls, felt completely different. Not necessarily better, but completely different.
Exactly.
It's really interesting how it can help keep the plane in the original kind of direction, right? And to avoid having the wind mess up too much with the position of the plane. The other thing I saw, and I think this is mainly due to not the right settings for the type of flying I was doing, is when you would do point rolls, the airplane or the Aura would make it, the roll kind of blow back a little bit. It's kind of like overcorrecting because probably the gains have it too high for that speed. But it was a really interesting experience. I can definitely see this being extremely useful for different airplanes, for different levels of skill, depending on what people are trying to do. So it's definitely something cool that Flex is offering this at a pretty, like the barrier of entry is pretty low to get something like this.
Exactly. Yeah. You nailed it there. That's pretty much the whole point. Giving it, it's good accessibility to everyone. The only way to do that is, to offer good adjustability within the product. So the Aura has a lot of different settings you can fine tune. And like you said, it's a different feel for sure. If you're not used to it, and you take up and fly it, it's going to take some getting used to and vice versa probably. So, I think it's cool to have those options to where you can, try them out and then kind of make up for yourself what best suits you, and I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now, and it's pretty cool to see that for sure.
Yeah, the other thing to your point before, that there's this misconception that a gyro will make the plane fly completely different, and it's funny, I think a lot of people are really against gyros in aerobatic propeller planes. However, when you go to the side of jets, which are probably the most expensive, most fancy RC airplanes you can get, the default is a gyro, right? It's kind of, it's interesting how different mindsets are there depending on the type of plane.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's definitely a cultural difference there, but with the jets and the warbirds, it's obviously really prominent. And I think it's grown a little bit in the 3D world for sure. From a positive standpoint, I think more and more people are starting to realize that it just boils down to personal preference and there's not a right or wrong way. And some people like myself, I don't foresee myself putting a gyro in a giant scale balsa airplane anytime soon, just because I'm so used to the feel of the airplane without it. And that's just, I've been flying that way for several years and that's just my preference. And other people have different preferences. So, I think it's all part of the evolution of technology for sure.
Yep, totally agreed. Let's chat about JTA. What you're doing there? I think you guys just got to the 4-year mark, right? Since you started JTA Innovations, how are things going?
Yeah, it's going really good. A lot of cool developments going on right now, and a lot of cool stuff for the future. A lot of big announcements to be made down the road. But yeah, like you said, we opened May of 2019, so last month marked 4 years. And kind of on that note, we obviously started the collaboration with Flex Innovations, and they're able to be our U.S. distributor. So that really helps, you know, with our products being able to keep a good amount of stock and availability for everyone. You know, obviously there's some planes that have different selling patterns than others, and are a little more hotter at one time than another one. So having Flex on board and able to you know, stock a good amount of lineup, you know, pretty close to all of it, really helps the customers being able to pick and choose and not worry about low stock. So that's really helping. And it's also helped out a lot of the Flex dealers as well. You know, you're starting to see them in local hobby stores, you know, throughout the Flex Innovations network. And that's really cool, you know, for JTA promotion, obviously Flex promotion, and then, you know, the promotion of flat foamies. I think there's still a lot of potential in the flat foamy world. So, you know, a lot of interest in it. And it kind of suits everyone. So, yeah, it's been really good from a product standpoint. Our most recent release was a version 2 of the Yak 54, which was our very first release back in 2019, but updated mostly aerodynamically and also construction as well. But, yeah, right now we've been devoting a lot of time, you know, in the JTA side of things to some future developments that will, I think, make everything a little bit easier for everyone and give people some really good performance. So looking forward to that for sure.
One of the things I saw maybe a few months back was some announcement around starting to do some level of quick assembly, right, for your models. Is that already available to the public?
Yeah, that we ran that for a few months, and with great success. We sold a lot of airplanes. The only problem was, honestly, we just couldn't keep up. So had to take a break from that. And we started that process before I joined Flex Innovation. So, you know, obviously the duties increased a little bit, and so had to make some changes there. But at the same time, even though right now we're not offering the quick assembly, we did make some upgrades to the kit form of the airplanes, and now all the flat carbon is pre-installed. So we kind of met in the middle a little bit, so to speak, and still made it possible for everyone. But I think now that we're a little more settled in with, you know, all the big changes going on with the collaboration with Flex, I think we'll be able to focus a little bit more on this line of airplanes and this type of airplane, and hopefully get some really cool developments out of it.
Cool. For people that are interested in checking these models out, do you have any guidance on what models might suit certain flight style better than others? Is it more of a visual preference, or do you actually think there's a kind of flying characteristics differences between them?
Yeah, they're definitely different. I'll say that the you know, color scheme and visual preference is probably what I tell people is the biggest determinant, because even though they're a little bit different, you know, they're all the same size, same power setup, you know, to make it easier for people. All take 3 servos. They're all 6mm EPP. So, you know, like the Yak. Yak is really good for knife edge flying. The new Yak that we just announced has increased side area compared to the previous version. Knife edge loops, knife edge square loops are possible with it. A really nice axial roll rate. The Slick and the MXS are good options. Really aggressive probably two of the more aggressive airplanes in the lineup. And the Extra and the Edge are pretty similar to each other. The Edge just has a little bit more of that low and slow feel that an Edge typically does, but the Extra is obviously really precise and locked in throughout everything. So, you know, those are minor differences, but you can definitely feel them, especially, you know, if you're a really experienced 3D pilot, you'll be able to pick them up. But for someone that's a, you know, wants to just practice 3D or get the hang of flying a foamy or learning maneuvers, I think definitely the visual perspective would be the go-to determinant on your choice.
Yeah, makes sense. What's your typical recommended setup there for that, for those planes?
Yeah, so right now we have the T-Motor AM40 is what we're recommending for the airplanes, along with that 16-amp ESC. JTA Innovations and Flex Innovations sells that setup for the airplanes. And for servos, we recommend, you know, something between 8 to 12 gram servo. We've been selling the 397s from JR, and also we've been starting to run the Potenza DS17 HV servo, and that's part of the Flex Innovations servo lineup, and I think that's been a fantastic servo. I've been doing a lot of testing with that myself and Lane Walker, who's a Flex Innovations pilot. He's been flying those servos a lot, and it's working really well, and we're able to supply a lot of those servos too, because the flat foamies aren't the only type of airplanes that take those servos. Some of the other super PNP airplanes from Flex take those servos as well. So the supply on those should be pretty good, and it's a great performance and gives a good locked-in feel for the airplane.
For batteries, are you seeing 2S or 3S?
2 and 3S is compatible. I personally run 2S. We have a new Potenza line of batteries that are developed, and they should be in stock soon. And those are developed specifically for the JTA flat foamy line. So those are 2-cell, and we're able to optimize those batteries to give them plenty of power and play with the C ratings a little bit. So we have they're both 600 milliamp batteries, 2-cell. And one's 45C and one is 100C. We debuted those at CEF this year. And the 100C is, honestly, I would say it's typical 3S power at a 2S 100C with these batteries. It's pretty impressive. And the 45C is probably your typical 2S power. So both are great options, you know, especially to differentiate between indoor and outdoor flying. You'll probably want to use the 45cc in or 45c indoors, and the 100c you'd probably only want to use outside. So you know, great options, and like I said, both of those batteries should be available soon through Flex Innovations. They're the Potenza 2-cell 600 milliamp batteries, and they'll be 2c rated versions of those.
When I talk to people and your name comes up, I think there is some like mystique on your what you do on a regular basis. I think some people tend to think that you are plugged in into the simulator 24/7. Other people think that you just like live in the flying field with the transmitter in your hand. Can you tell us a bit about what your typical week looks like? Where are you spending your time? I'm guessing that you are right now having to deal with flight training as well as JTA work, as well as Flex Innovations, events here and there. What does your typical week look like?
For sure. Well, since 2019, you know, I've been the sole operator of JTA Innovations. So not only does that involve the development, but it involves the day-to-day business of orders and customer service and promotion, social media, videos, all that sort of thing. And all the stuff that comes along with, you know, taking care of a business and documents and all that stuff. So I've been doing that since 2019. And, you know, since I joined Flex Innovations, I've been fortunate enough to be able to do a couple other things in the industry with Flex. And And, you know, with Flex, obviously, there's been a lot of product development going on, product testing, social media. We manage the social media accounts throughout Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. So that includes video editing, posting. And, you know, as time allows, we've got a great setup to do some flying. You know, if weather and time allows, we're able to fly here at the house and, you know, have the shop and keep the airplanes maintained. But most of the time it's, you know, just making sure everything's aligned with, you know, from a business standpoint, you know, whether that be communicating with customers, communicating with everyone else within the Flex Innovations team, online promotion, research and development. You know, it takes up some time but that's all part of it, and wouldn't want it any other way. It's definitely a fortunate position to be in, for sure.
Right now, on the past, let's say, 12 to 15 years, you've been slowly improving more and more. Right now, I think it's pretty fair to say that you are one of the top freestyle pilots in the world, if not the best pilot in the world. I know a lot of that comes down to a ton of practice, obviously. You weren't born flying the way you do these days. But a lot of other people do put a lot of time into their flying. What do you think has made the difference to get you where you are, where maybe others didn't get to?
I've always had, some goals as far as the flying goes, but a lot of it might not be as planned as what some people may think. A lot of it's just been, you know, I've had such a big passion for it that there's always something I've been wanting to do. And you know, even from the time I started to learn how to fly RC and started flying on, you know, the Real Flight Simulator, it wasn't really like, oh, have to practice this or have to practice that specifically. It was just, you know, having fun and, you know, just naturally learning along the way as I tried different things. You know, when I started as a kid, you know, I just wanted to go to the field and hang out and, you know, watch my dad fly and then, you know, fly in the simulator at home just to mess around and stuff. It wasn't really, you know, anything structured when I first started. And, even to this day, I mean, the only thing that's really structured when I fly is, you know, either, you know, testing a product or equipment or practicing for a competition. You know, I don't really spend a lot of time going out to practice, so to speak. You know, it's just, you know, to fly and have fun. And I think naturally, you learn and pick stuff up, you know, with stick time and you know, there can occasionally be some things that you want to try, you know, intentionally. And you know, you see someone else fly and you're like, oh, I want to try that. And then you naturally pick it up and learn it. So I think passion for sure, passion and interest in it and determination is definitely the biggest factors, you know, throughout all the flying and practice. It doesn't really feel like a lot of work, you know, it's not, you know, hard work. I'm not forcing myself to do it. You know, it's something, you know, I want to do because I'm passionate about it. So I think that's the key for sure. And when you have, you know, passion for anything, no matter what it is, if you have a lot of it, you're going to retain information quicker. You're going to learn stuff quicker. And it's just going to, you're going to develop a lot faster.
Yeah, you're much more receptive to that learning process, for sure.
Yeah, definitely when you have the passion, it helps, for sure.